and a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more for them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, there is a good old-fashioned Texas standoff going on in, well, the state of Texas this morning after Democrat lawmakers fled the state over the weekend because of redistricting. And this is an interesting topic. Redistricting has been a pretty hot button issue in North Carolina over the last 10 or 15 years. So many of you that follow North Carolina politics closely are probably familiar with the discussion of redistricting and the battle that it has been and the battle that it continues to be. And so what you've got going on in the state of Texas in response to Illinois and Democrats in the state of Illinois that have drawn Republicans out of seats, Texas said, okay, well, I guess we'll do the same thing. Illinois wants to draw three or four Republicans out of the United States House. We'll make up the numbers. We'll draw a bunch of Democrats out of the state of Texas. And this comes all back to a discussion of essentially mutual destruction, which is what this stuff leads to. And it comes back to the age-old topic of Democrats always willing to change the rules of the game when it benefits them. And that was the premise of my morning line email this morning. Democrats are always willing to change the rules. When they are in positions of power, they will change the rules to benefit themselves, which inherently, if I was a Democrat, I wouldn't have a problem with. Where this turns into an issue is when Democrats are no longer in the position of power. They get upset, they get frustrated that Republicans want to play by the same rules. And we see this all over the place. You see it at local levels, you see it at statewide levels, and you absolutely see it at the federal level. It's something that is very consistent with the Democrat Party, this constant moving of the goalposts, changing the rules of the game to benefit themselves, then getting very upset, very distraught, talking about the end of democracy when Republicans play by those same rules. And this comes down to you can't have it both ways. If you want to be the party of the moral high ground and you want to be the party that is, you know, fighting for the American people and fighting for the democracy, you can't change the rules to benefit you. That's not how this works. And if you want to do that, again, I'm fine with it. But then you can't then flip the coin over and say, but these guys, because they're not in my same political party, these guys who I ideologically disagree with aren't allowed to play by the same rules. You can't have it both ways. If you're willing to change the rules, then you have to be willing to live with the consequences when you are not in power. And we see this, especially at the federal level, a lot. It comes back, and what does it end up doing? Well, it bites the Democrats in the ass over and over again. And so now you've got this situation unfolding in Texas where the Texas legislature said, we're not going to lose the Republicans are not going to lose the House of Representatives due to partisan gerrymandered maps. So we're going to redraw our maps and draw Democrats out of their districts. That was the response. So what you've got going on this morning is Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who is a Republican, has ordered the arrest of what he calls delinquent House Democrats after legislators failed to return to the Texas Capitol as they were ordered to on Sunday. The governor ordered the Texas Department of Public Safety to, quote, locate, arrest, and return to the House chamber any members who abandoned their duties in Texas. The governor went on by saying Texas Democrats abandoned their duty to Texas by fleeing the state. Texas House Democrats are holding hostage critical legislation to aid flood victims and advance property tax relief. There are consequences for dereliction of duty. The Texas governor was on Fox News a couple of different times yesterday talking about this. The first clip here, he was on with Dana Bash and Bill Hemmer yesterday morning. Let's take a listen to this.
Greg Abbott joins us now. Thank you so much. Can you tell us from your perspective, what is the issue? Why did they leave?
So they're leaving, and they've left because they're very un-Texan. Texans don't run from a fight. And there's a fight going on in the legislature right now about redistricting as well as other things. But I'll make two quick points, Dana, about this. For one, to run to states like New York and Illinois to protest redistricting is kind of like running to Wisconsin to protest cheese. It's just kind of outrageous. Those are New York and Illinois, two hallmark states. They've already done redistricting to eliminate Republicans. But the second thing is far more serious, and that is what these Democrats have done. Just a small fraction of them were needed to break a quorum, and that small fraction is holding hostage legislation in the state of Texas where we will be able to provide assistance and reform for all of the victims of that horrific flooding that we've had in the state of Texas. Our fellow Texans are being let down and not getting the flood relief they need because these Democrats have absconded from the responsibility, and I believe they have forfeited their seats in the state legislature because they're not doing the job they were elected to do.
And so you hear there the discussion, yes, over redistricting, but then other issues that the Texas legislature is currently dealing with. Of course, that horrific flood back in the month of July causing big time issues in the state of Texas, killing an unimaginable amount of young individuals at that Christian summer camp, a horrific situation unfolding there. And, you know, for Democrats who always talk about, oh, we're in the fight, we're holding the line, we're standing our ground. Well, they're not standing ground on anything. And I do love what the Texas governor says about, you know, it's pretty ironic that these individuals are fleeing to Illinois and New York, two states that are the textbook definitions, the textbook examples of gerrymandered maps that favor Democrats. And the reality of this is very simple. When you are the party in charge, you are allowed to govern. Plain and simple. If Democrats in Illinois who control the legislature want to redraw maps to favor Democrats, then they're allowed to do that. They're the party in charge. I don't like the idea of gerrymandering maps to fit your political party, but if you're the party in charge and it's not illegal to do so, well, then you have the right. But then at the same time, I also feel the same way about Republicans when they're in charge, and they in fact are in the Texas legislature. And so if the Texas legislature wants to respond to what's going on in Illinois and redraw the maps to favor Republicans, then I also have to be okay with that. And that's what this comes down to. If you are okay with Democrats doing this, if you are okay with the state of Illinois redrawing their maps, re-gerrymandering or reconstituting their congressional maps, gerrymandering those to benefit Democrats, which is exactly what they've done. Just take a, if you don't believe me, just take a look at their congressional maps. They're completely absurd. You've got maps that go from all the way from St. Louis to almost Indiana. I mean, that's not an actual congressional district. I mean, look at these maps. These are absolutely drawn in a way to benefit Democrats. And as I am saying, and I will continue to say, if this is how Democrats in Illinois want to operate and it's not against the law, it's not illegal, they have the right to do so. But then they have to be okay when Republicans in other states say, okay, hold my beer, this is what we're going to do with our maps, which is exactly what the Texas legislature has done. That's exactly what the Texas legislature did in response. They said, all right, that's fine. You want to redraw your maps to favor a bunch of Democrats? Well, then we're going to redraw our maps to favor Republicans, and that's exactly what they did. The Democrats want to scream and screech from some sort of moral high ground that they are the victim of partisan politics, that they are the victim of partisan gerrymandering. Give me a freaking break. Give me a break. You want to change the rules. You want to move the goalposts. You want to benefit your own political party. Fine. You can't be pissed off when the other side wants to do it as well. And that's what it comes down to. And it's why I brought up the term mutually destructive earlier, because that's what this inevitably leads to. And by the way, I have no problem with Republicans responding to this. I am over the days and over the discussion of, oh, we need to be the party that doesn't get down in the dirt and doesn't get down in the mud and doesn't play these games. To hell with that. This is politics, folks. There's very little morality that goes around in politics. There's very little of that that actually exists. And if Republicans want to be competitive, then they need to be willing to play by the same games that Democrats do. And I'm glad that the Texas legislature said, okay, great. Yeah, we can play. We'll play ball too. This is what our maps are going to look like in response. Now you've got California responding, Gavin Newsom saying, well, we'll redraw all the Republicans out of our districts. Go for it, because there's many more red states than there are blue. So if Democrats want to gerrymander Illinois, New York, and California and a couple of their other big blue states, that's fine. Then expect every single Republican state, which there are many more Republican-controlled legislatures than Democrats, then enjoy it. Republicans, I would encourage them to redraw their maps in every freaking state and disenfranchise as many Democrats as possible. This is the game you guys want to play, right? This is how you want to operate. And it all comes back to something very simple. Why are Illinois Democrats redrawing the map? Why are they trying to give themselves an upper hand in the congressional races for the United States House? It's very simple. Democrats' ideas are no good. Democrats' ideas are being rejected by the vast majority of the American people. And so instead of retooling, instead of looking in the mirror, instead of saying, man, these ideas are crazy and nobody likes them, we should probably adapt and change so we can win, they want to change the rules of the game. They want to redraw the map so that they have a better likelihood, better chance of winning majorities in the United States House coming up next year. They're not going to be able to win in the Senate. The Democrats would need to flip 4 Senate seats currently held by Republicans and hold on to their vulnerable seats in this election cycle in 2026. So regardless of what happens here in North Carolina, Republicans will continue to hold the Senate. The math on that, the likelihood of that is incredibly, incredibly low. The House, on the other hand, well, that's a different story. And that very well, that is going to be what Democrats are going to be fighting tooth and nail for as we get into the middle and latter parts of next year, trying to get the majority. And the math on that is possible. What do Republicans have? Like a 2 or 3 seat majority in the House right now? It's very, very slim. So if Illinois Democrats can redraw the districts, if Illinois Democrats can disenfranchise a couple of Republican congressional representatives, then their math becomes seemingly a little bit easier to do. But you have to take a couple of steps back from this and say, why are Democrats not competitive? Why is their solution to not winning elections redrawing maps? Why is their solution not figuring out what is making us so unpopular? Why is their solution getting off of the wrong side of 80-20 issues constantly and convincing the voting bloc in whatever state, convincing the American people that we are truly the party that has the best ideas? And it seems, I guess, obvious for me to say this morning, and I feel pretty confident saying it, that Democrats are unwilling to do that. That Democrats are unwilling to say, our ideas suck, our ideas are unpopular, the American people reject them, and we're going to change. They're seemingly unwilling to do it. Now, there's still time for that to happen, right? The election is not until November of next year. So there is time for them to do some more self-reflection, change some of their platforms, and figure out how to win over the majority of the American voting base. There is still time. But as literally every day passes, that runway gets shorter and shorter. It's not too dissimilar from the presidential election that we saw last year. Kamala Harris in the, you know, whatever it was, 107 days that she was in the race, really failed to define herself, really failed to define any substantial issues and things that she was actually going to do. And the end result was that the American people overwhelmingly decided that they'd rather have Donald Trump in the Oval Office than her. They won him 7 swing states. He won the popular vote for the first time in over 20 years for a Republican candidate. And Republicans also picked up the majorities in the United States Senate, giving them power of both chambers of Congress and the executive branch. That doesn't happen by accident. That is not throwing a, that's not just flipping a coin and winning an election. No. I mean, that came from Republicans setting the stage, defining the issues, and convincing the American people that their policies, their platform, their ideas were better than the left's. And I would argue they did a pretty damn good job of doing that. The example, case in point, the election results last November. I would argue that Republicans were very successful in that. Democrats ran on the same message of orange man bad, Republicans bad, everything bad. It just didn't resonate with the voting base. And so as we head into the midterm elections, one of the big questions and one of the things that, at least from my vantage point this morning, that remains unknown, uncertain, is will the Democrat Party figure out what the winning issue and what the winning message is? And let's be clear, there are plenty of issues that the Democrats can use, can run on, and win on. But for whatever reason, they continue to get into these ridiculously stupid issues and make them big time problems within elections and within their messaging. I mean, you've heard me go over the list of examples before, and I'll do it again real quick. Men and women's sports, an incredibly unpopular issue for the left. It's the definition of an 80-20 political issue. And they'll take it to their grave. So, you know, there's just one small example, and it's a big deal, but just one example of an 80-20 issue that they're on the wrong side of, and one that they spent years trying to reverse the narrative, years trying to frame it, using their friends in mainstream media, using their friends in the press to frame the issue as it was something different, all for that to be completely blown out of the water in one executive order from President Donald Trump. And a bunch of state legislatures, like the state of North Carolina, passing legislation protecting female sports, protecting teenage girls and college-age girls to have the ability to play in what can only be defined as an even and fair playing field. But as I've already discussed this morning, Democrats don't care about an even playing field. They care about adjusting the rules for this very time. They seemingly have a huge issue projecting and looking forward as to whether these things will affect us, we being, if you're a Democrat, how these things will affect us down the road. Because in many cases, they have substantial impacts long term. In many cases, they have a huge impact when you're no longer the party in charge. So, 80-20 issue on men and women's sports, 80-20 issue on immigration, just on the wrong side. Scott Jennings was the keynote speaker at our Young Republican National Convention in Nashville over the weekend. He was one of the two main speakers, and he talked about this during his conversation. Scott Jennings, you've heard his clips here on the show before. He is the sole Republican on that CNN panel with Abby Phillips. And he talked about the 80-20 issues. And he talked about the Democrats' inability to deconstruct the things that they are so-called fighting for and actually figure out how to win an election, how to get on the winning side of a message. Now, there are things that they are on the winning side of. For example, abortion. Democrats have got that issue figured out. Republicans have no freaking idea how to message it. And it is a consistent problem that they struggle with. It was a big issue in 2020. It was a big issue in 2022 as well. Right? So there are winning issues. There are winning messages that the Democrat Party has. Now, I'm not saying that the whole, you know, late-term abortion thing is a winning issue. That is not. But Democrats have figured out how to message that. A lot of it is due to the friendly media environment. A lot of it has to do with the messaging out of media that, you know, Republicans are this, that, and the other about the issue of abortion. And they've been very successful in that. But they've seemingly abandoned that and are now in favor of an Iranian-backed terror group known as Hamas operating in the Gaza Strip. Right? That is one of their main party principles right now. They've got their acolytes out on college campuses and in major cities across the United States waving the flag of a terrorist organization. They're holding protests in cities across the United States against Immigration and Customs Enforcement, another 80-20 issue that the Democrats are on the wrong side of, holding up and waving foreign flags on American streets and burning cars. Like, again, the idea that that is a successful narrative, the idea that that is a successful political stance that you can nationalize and then campaign on is absurd. You've got people, I mean, I saw this clip on X yesterday. I don't think I bookmarked it, of some Democrat representative. I think she was from California. She was in Guatemala over the weekend. She's I don't know if she's originally from Guatemala, but she's got a Guatemalan heritage. And she said, "I'm Guatemalan first, American second." That's a really stupid thing to say as an American citizen, especially if you're an elected representative in the United States of America. You should be disqualified from your job with that stance. How can you be fighting for your rep, for the people that you represent, the residents of your state or your community, when you're telling a foreign entity that you don't have America's best interests in mind? If that's the case, then get the hell out. If you don't have America's best interests in mind, we don't want you here. Go to whatever state, go to whatever country, go play on the Gaza Strip if you believe that that's the most important thing in the world, but don't make it my problem. It's just insane how Democrats repeat this same thing over and over again and expect a different result. It's the literal definition of insanity. Greg Abbott was also on Fox News last night. The first clip was from yesterday morning. The second clip from last night, he was on with Sean Hannity. Take a listen to this.
But Sean, that misses the point here. The point here is that Democrats have done something that's very un-Texan. They've turned their backs on their fellow Texans. When it came to a fight, they turned and ran away, not just from this redistricting fight, they ran away from dealing with the flooding issues that are still echoing across the Kerrville area. Families desperately need results from the state legislature in this 30-day special session that are not going to be delivered because Democrats are hanging out in Chicago and New York and other places.
Oh, yeah. Chicago, New York, and other places. A great place to be a Democrat. So this order signed for by Texas Governor Greg Abbott follows a call of the Texas House order from House Speaker Dustin Burroughs. The speaker issued warrants to compel members to return to the House chamber, with the Texas governor saying that he had ordered Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety, to locate, arrest, and return those members to the House. The House Speaker said, quote, "Texas will not be held hostage by Democrat lawmakers who abandon their duty. I commend House members who showed up today, ready to honor their oath, confront real challenges, and deliver results for the people of Texas." He continued in his post by saying, "To those who fled, your absence delays our work, but it does not stop it. I've signed civil arrest warrants to compel attendance and get back to work. We will restore quorum. We will act. We will address the issues on this special called session." And so it's a very interesting process to watch this unfold in the Texas legislature as we talk about it this morning. Now, this is not the first time, and it's being pointed out in our Rumble chat this morning, that this is not the first time that Democrats in Texas have done this. Back in 2021, somewhat of a similar situation unfolded, and then since then a rule was passed that allows the House to fine members who abandon their post $500 per day. It's an important thing to note that with that rule, they have to pay a fine from their personal funds and cannot pay it out of their campaign account. So you can't use your campaign, your fundraising to raise money and pay it. You've got to pay it out of your personal account there. Other individuals commenting on it as well, including Attorney General Ken Paxton in the state of Florida, as this mess and this insanity continues to unfold. Now you've got other individuals jumping on this as well. The illustrious governor of the state of New York, Kathy Hochul. Yeah, look to New York for reasonable partisanship, right? Here's the New York Democrat governor.
Authoritarianism. Now, what Texas and Republican states are doing at the direction of Donald Trump, I say is nothing short of a legal insurrection against our Capitol. Legal meaning they're using the legal process, does not mean it's legal, and it must be stopped. If Republicans are willing to rewrite these rules to give themselves an advantage, then they're leaving us no choice. We must do the same. There's a phrase. You have to fight fire with fire. That is a true statement of how we're feeling right now.
Oh, good. Then let's fight fire with fire. I'll take you guys to bat. You guys have a couple of your Democrat states with your blue Democrat strongholds. Draw all your districts. I really don't care. Republicans will win in the end of this. And let's be perfectly honest and clear. Let's look at who started this. Illinois started this back a couple of weeks ago. And the result is other states are responding. And just to prove this point here in North Carolina about how gerrymandering, which, by the way, when Democrats gerrymander, it is known as equality. When Republicans gerrymander, it is, as you just heard there from Kathy Hochul, an insurrection, a legal insurrection. So I submit to you Exhibit A this morning. For those listening on the audio version, I wish you could see this. These are North Carolina's congressional districts from 1993 to 1998. This is during a period of time in which Democrats had more than 100 years worth of control in the North Carolina legislature. This is what congressional maps looked like in the state of North Carolina from 93 to 1998. You can look at the first congressional district spans all the way from the Virginia border almost to South Carolina. Almost to South Carolina. District 12 encompasses both the Charlotte and Raleigh metropolitan areas. These are maps that Democrats drew in North Carolina when they were in complete and exclusive control of the legislature. So again, you're going to have to spare me your outrage over how this is once again the Republicans' fault. You are going to have to spare me again about how your party, the Democrats, are the ones trying to make fair and free elections when this is the kind of garbage that you guys come up with. House District 12 on this map literally follows Interstate 85. If you get off of an exit on Interstate 85 to get gas, you go into a different congressional district. You get back on the interstate. Once again, you're on a different district. These are the maps the Democrats drew. This is a real map in North Carolina from 1993 to 1998. I always make sure that I have this readily available when I have to listen to Democrats talking about partisan gerrymandering. And so let's compare and contrast that to what is going on now in North Carolina and just kind of look at what the districts look like in 2025 as we move forward. And so here are the maps currently in the state of North Carolina. They look very different from what we saw in that first image. You've got districts that are, for the most part, pretty contiguous. You've got maps, for the most part, that show an area that is geographically centered and geographically located. You compare and contrast that to this map, and it's completely laughable. The Republicans are responsible for one. The Democrats are responsible for another. What a freaking mess. All created by the Democrats because they are unwilling to change their policies, change their platforms, and change their ideas. if you can't win an election fair and square, if you can't convince the majority of voters that your party has the best ideas, the best solutions, the best platforms to go forward, then you can't possibly win. And, you know, looking at what's going on here, I hope that Greg Abbott absolutely throws down the hammer and Attorney General Ken Paxton throws down the hammer. I'm sick and tired of it. Guys, it's very simple. We won. You are not in the party of power. Your ideas suck. Change your party and win elections if you want to be in charge. If not, then Republicans are going to continue to govern. And you can fly on a jet, you can fly away to Illinois or Texas or whatever Democrat paradise stronghold you want to and completely usurp your duty. I can promise you it's not going to work out for Democrats long term. I can promise you that it's not going to work out for the Democrat Party. And so here are some of the Democrats talking about this, including Jasmine Crockett, who is set to lose her congressional seat as a result of these maps being redrawn. This is what she's got to say at a big press conference with her buddy Al Green.
That they talk a lot of noise, but these guys are weak. That's why they're over here trying to bully people. Bullies are always weak. The difference is they expect Democrats to kind of be the nice guys that we are. They expect us to take the punch and say thank you. Well, I am here to tell you not only are we going to punch back, but we about to beat you down.
We about to beat you down. All right, Jasmine Crockett, great English there as always. No big surprise. How are you going to beat us down? You guys can't win anything. You guys got your asses handed to you on a silver platter in November of last year. How are you going to beat me down? How are you going to beat the Republicans down? You guys lost. You had an easy election victory in front of you. You completely botched it by first running a geriatric who was in the Oval Office as Joe Biden, allowed him to run a campaign all the way until July. Then you substituted him out with an incredibly unpopular vice president in Kamala Harris without having a real primary. Then you proceeded to lose the Oval Office, lose the majority in the Senate, and allow Republicans to continue to hold a majority in the House. So I can promise you that I'm not shaking my boots this morning over Jasmine Crockett's punching back and beating me down. Sure as hell ain't gonna happen. You guys have no power. You are getting steamrolled by the Republicans right now, as you should be. Your party has gone way off the deep end. Your party has decided to abandon all sense of reality and normalcy. And now you're dealing with the results of it. It's a mess. And so here's Hakeem Jeffries talking about this situation as well.
Clear to the people of Texas, what's taking place? Because it's unacceptable, unconscionable, and un-American. And as elected officials, we have that responsibility. That's not something we can just brush aside. If 50 states in America, I'm here in Texas for a reason. Because these legislators are standing up. These members of Congress are standing up and communicating to the people of Texas what's occurring right now in the middle of the summer at a special session. And we will make clear that we're going to do everything possible to support the Texas legislators as they consider the best ways to push back. It's an all hands on deck moment, and all options should be on the table to protect the people of Texas. But Texas Democrats are going to be the ones to decide that. We will fight them politically. We will fight them governmentally. We will fight them in court. We will fight them in terms of winning the hearts and minds of the people of Texas and beyond.
Not true.
The Texas Democrats are going to show up and stand up and speak up for what's right for the people of Texas. And they're showing courage and conviction and character in doing that. And we'll see what happens over the next few days, over the next few weeks. But the one thing I know is clear, that Texas Democrats are fighting for the people.
Ah, yes. The old adage, Democrats are the ones fighting for you and I. Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely. That played out real well for you guys in November, right? Fighting for the little man. Fighting for the middle class as you import tens of millions of people into the United States of America illegally. As you drain the United States banks' accounts to fund foreign wars. Fighting for the little guy, right? Absolutely. This trick and pony show being rolled out here by Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these Democrats is laughable. We're going to win the hearts and minds of the American people. Says how? How do you plan on doing that? With fighting for trans rights and allowing 13-year-old girls to be beaten down in high school sports by a biological male? That's how you're fighting and winning the hearts and minds of the American people? You're going to show up? You're sure as hell showing up right now. You guys are in Illinois and New York, by the way, paid for on private jets. Right, you got AOC and Bernie Sanders flying around the United States on Gulf Streams talking about fighting the oligarchy, fighting for the middle-class Americans. Bernie Sanders in his four beach houses that he owns, fighting for the little guy, right? Fighting for the American people, fighting for middle class. Could not be further from reality. Democrats have lost the message. Democrats have lost the agenda, and they've lost the narrative. He says that they're going to win. He says that Hakeem Jeffries saying they're going to do it. They're going to turn the corner. I don't believe it, because it comes back to an issue that this party, the Democrat Party, continues to face, which is the fractured ideas. These fringe movements, these fringe ideologies within the Democrat Party that they have to appease to, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's Antifa, whether it's the pro-Hamas crowd, the LGBTQIAP+ crowd, all of these crowds that they have to try and appease to keep their voters in line. They have created this monster, and it is now coming back and biting them pretty substantially. So, Hakeem Jeffries, yeah, I mean, I'll give him that. Good speech, sure. But it's wrong. It's completely impractical for the Democrat Party to deal with. And it's the same old line all over again. Protecting the democracy. Protecting the American people. So, you know, going back to what Kathy Hochul said, go for it, guys. Redraw New York, redraw California, redraw Illinois, redraw a couple of the other states that you've got exclusive control over to give yourself seats. Republican states will respond and will be successful. So have at it. If that's the way that you want to play the game, absolutely. Be my guest. How did all of this start? It started earlier this year with Illinois and these congressional maps that they drew. Now, these maps, which obviously are gerrymandered to favor Democrats and remove Republicans from office, these maps are not threats to democracy. These are protecting the American people. Yet, if we look at Texas's map, this map is a threat to democracy. This map is a threat to the United States of America. Great job, guys. Really killing it with everything going on out there. Good luck. I look forward to Democrats from the state of Texas being rounded up by DPS and literally being hauled in handcuffs into the Texas legislature and being required to vote. At the end of the day, it's their job. They're lawmakers. And if you're called to be back in the state, the city, the town that you represent, if you're a lawmaker, you need to show up and do your job. If not, resign your position and allow somebody to be appointed. It's really not all that complicated. But again, this so-called moral fight that Democrats believe that they're having is nothing more than a gaslighting from the Democrat Party. So we'll keep our eye on the great state of Texas and see what continues to go on over there. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, for more than 20 years, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, Or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense. The law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they're located in downtown Wilmington and just a free phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. They support us, and we encourage you to support them for any legal needs across the state of the eastern half of North Carolina. Reach out to the Law Group, 910-251-6088. On the other side, the city of Wilmington has a meeting scheduled for tonight, a pretty lengthy Facebook post dealing with homelessness from council member Luke Waddell. We'll get into those details coming up here in a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live Tuesday morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget that if you are interested in getting bonus content, including daily show notes and more, you can subscribe to the show and support it financially. We are an audience-funded and advertiser-funded program here. No corporate backing, no big media sponsors. Patreon.com/Nick Craig, $5, $10 a month to get access to the daily show notes and our monthly hangout. We had one last week. Phenomenal discussion and conversation. Great to catch up with everybody. We'll do it again here in a couple of weeks towards the end of August. That is available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So the Wilmington City Council is meeting tonight, and homelessness has been a pretty big topic of conversation. For those that have been following me and used to listen to me back on the radio here in Wilmington, you know that we had this discussion many a times. It was a very, very hot button discussion, a very hot button issue, and it remains to be one. And so this post yesterday on social media from Councilman Luke Waddell is a pretty interesting one. And I think it's important to go through it, set the stage. And then, of course, we'll watch the meeting tonight. I'll pull some clips out and we'll have that further discussion tomorrow morning. But let's jump into Councilman Waddell's comments. He writes, "On Tuesday night, I am introducing a common sense public camping ordinance that I hope will be adopted by the majority of the City of Wilmington Council. This comes after much discussion with the people of Wilmington, who are pleading with leaders of the city to take action and restore some order to our public spaces. We have a compassionate community that has invested heavily in this issue and offered a robust array of services for those who need and want them. The want is key. We'll come back to that in a second. This is a great thing, but must be coupled with accountability. Don't believe me? Just ask San Francisco. In June of 2024, the United States Supreme Court ruled that municipalities have the authority to enact and enforce public camping ordinances. Since that landmark decision, cities across the country have moved quickly to enact public camping ordinances and establish clear guidelines for their communities. Meanwhile, Wilmington has not acted, despite New Hanover County already having an ordinance in place. I believe that we are at a crossroads in this city. Do we follow the path of cities like Los Angeles, where vagrancy, open-air drug use, and lawlessness have taken hold, or do we choose a different course of one that prioritizes public safety, order, and accountability? As a well-functioning city requires setting boundaries, putting public safety first, and enforcing laws. I know where I stand." Signed, Luke Waddell. This is a phenomenal post, and I very much look forward to this conversation taking place tonight at the city council meeting, because Councilman Waddell is absolutely spot on. You have got vagrancy and lawlessness that exists within the city of Wilmington, and he says something very important in his post. "We have a compassionate community that has invested heavily in this issue and offers a robust array of services for those who need and want them. The want is the key portion, or at least to me, is the key portion of that statement. You cannot compel individuals, and this is all dealing with homelessness. You cannot compel individuals who are homeless and want to be homeless to go take charity from groups. You cannot force or compel individuals to get off of drugs, get off of alcohol, and clean up their life. You can't. We live in a free country. You're allowed to be that if that's what you want to be. But at the same time, you also do not get the right to infringe on other people's ability to operate their business and live in a clean, safe environment because that's what you want to do. I'll never forget this. The late Deb Hayes, her tragic passing a couple of years ago, when New Hanover County adopted this ordinance, she joined me on the radio and we had a lengthy discussion about this. And I wish I had that clip. Hopefully it exists somewhere. And she talked about how for those individuals that want to be homeless and do not want to take advantage of the great charities and the great communities that exist throughout our area that try and help these individuals, for those that don't want to take advantage of that, that's fine. But their rights stop when they start infringing on others. When you are harassing individuals who are walking to work, when you're harassing individuals in the county's public parking deck as they're having to go and sit through jury duty, that's when your rights stop. You don't have the ability to infringe on my rights because you want to be a drug addict that lives on the streets of downtown Wilmington. You don't get to harass me and my girlfriend as we walk to a bar because you're home. That your rights stop. You don't have that freedom. You don't have that flexibility anymore. And of course, Democrats, and I'm sure you'll hear it tonight about how, we need to help these individuals. And we already help them. We provide between the county and the city millions of dollars a year, either directly through the city and the county or through nonprofit groups within southeastern North Carolina that provide these individuals with the opportunity to get clean, to get their lives back on track and get off the streets. The fact of the matter is some of the people that are currently homeless in downtown Wilmington are not interested in those solutions. They're not interested in changing their lifestyle. And again, I don't care what they do. That's fine. But you don't get the right to infringe on businesses, to infringe on the rights of citizens in the city of Wilmington and in New Hanover County, because that's what you're choosing to do. County Commissioner Dane Scalise commented on this post and said, "Thank you, Councilman Waddell. We can and should be compassionate towards those in need. We must simultaneously make clear that violence, theft, drug trafficking, and other criminality is unacceptable in our community. Everyone deserves to feel safe in their city, neighborhood, and home. Even though some partisan actors and organizations who directly benefit from unlimited spending on homeless services may disagree, the overwhelming majority of the public is looking for some common sense leadership on this issue. I am grateful you are on the Wilmington City Council to provide that." And I think he's absolutely, Councilman Waddell and Commissioner Dane Scalise are absolutely spot on. And, there's other solution. There's other people commenting on this. Somebody, I'm not going to read their name, but I'll read their comment saying, quote, "This isn't a camping ordinance. It's a cruel, unchristian attempt to treat the least among us like criminals. These are human beings, and in some cases with families and children. How about fixing the issues that cause homelessness, like more affordable housing?" That doesn't solve any problems. Again, you can't compel somebody to clean their lives up. You cannot force somebody to get into a rehab facility over at Coastal Horizons, even though the city and the county spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year subsidizing their operations. You can't force it. But it is time to clean up the city of Wilmington. It is time to clean up New Hanover County. We've seen it take place in New Hanover County. The big homeless encampment off of Kerr Avenue, gone. The one behind Target, gone. It's illegal. There's a public camping ordinance that exists. It's not allowed in the city anymore. It's not allowed in the county anymore. Mental illness is a big issue with all of this. But again, if individuals are unwilling to take the services that are available, if individuals are unwilling to use the resources that are available, there's really not a whole hell of a lot else you can do. You can't force or compel somebody in a free country to do what you think is best for them. That's not how our system operates. So this is going to, I would imagine, spark some pretty fiery debate tonight within the city of Wilmington. We'll have eyes and recorders on the meeting tonight, and we'll provide some more rundown of this coming up tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. A final comment coming in on our Rumble chat this morning. So many mentally ill and homeless people at all times. Lots of panhandling, lots of unhinged people yelling at the air in a scary way. And it comes down to public safety, right? You look at San Francisco, you look at Los Angeles, you've seen the absolute liberal hellholes that those places have become because they refuse to deal with homelessness. So instead, they provide people clean needles so that they can shoot up heroin. That's their solution to the drug problem in San Francisco. Here's a clean government taxpayer-funded needle so that you can shoot up an illicit illegal drug publicly in the city of San Francisco. That, I think it is pretty clear to say, has not worked. That has not been a good solution. And so the city of Wilmington tonight has an opportunity to prove and make a different decision seeing what has unfolded in those places. The meeting is tonight. I'd encourage you to email the Wilmington City Council and encourage them to move forward with this public camping ordinance. Make sure your voice is heard. You can find all the contact information on the City of Wilmington website. I'll also put it in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So it'll be an interesting meeting. I'm sure lots of comments from bleeding heart liberals on the City Council. We'll track it right here. Thanks to The Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. We're back with you tomorrow morning right here